The Tom Woods Show, episode 1527.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
All right, for all you men out there listening to this program, I don't normally believe in peer pressure, except in this case. Can you really be a Tom Woods Show listener if you're not using Harry's razors with all the rest of us? We use it because we all get a close, comfortable shave. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your special trial offer by going to harrys.com/woods. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Delighted to be joined by an old friend today, Michael Chaney, whom I have learned so much from. There are only three people in the world I've actually given testimonials for. I've written back cover blurbs on people's books, of course, but in terms of testimonials for people whose training and teaching has dramatically improved my life and my bottom line, well, there are only three of them, and you know Ben Settle is the other one, and Paul Counts, whom I've had on, is the third one. But Michael's definitely on there. I have gotten a lot of the, let's say, if I'm good at selling things online, whether my own things or somebody else's, it's 55% because of this guy. And combine that with the fact that we have on our hands more or less a libertarian conversion story. And if you're like me, you enjoy those. And Michael has endured some things, particularly recently, that really just made him say, that's it, that's the last straw. Where do I sign up? So I want to talk to him about this. We got a lot of fun things to discuss together, including a little training program that he and I put together ourselves. Michael, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going great. I mean, I just couldn't be happier about, well, I know there's been some tragedy in your life, and I'm very sad about that, and it's, I'm sorry that you've had to go through that, and we are going to talk a bit about that, but at the same time, as somebody who's known you for a while, I'm pleased to see certain developments in your life. We'll just put it that way, and just say right. You hang around the old man here long enough, you know, the influence of the old man is felt. let's leave it that way. All right. So I've introduced you to my audience a couple times. I think you came on my radar probably in 2015, 2016. I got on your email list because I kept hearing that you were the master of email. And I thought, that sounds like a nice title to have. I'd like to be the master of emails. You know, let me see what this guy does. So I got on your email list. I started reading your emails. I liked them. I liked the way I would click on an offer you had, and instead of taking me to the offer, it would take me to a page standing between me and the offer where you were sort of making the case for why I should get whatever it is, maybe any bonuses you had. But sometimes you would have a video on there, and it would be a video. I distinctly recall videos where, you know, you, like me, you have children, and you would take children's toys and you would use them in your promo video for the product. Right. And nobody else was doing that. And in fact, I know I haven't even let you get a word in edgewise yet, but I'm sorry. I have to start off talking a little bit. I just stumbled the other day on a video I made with one of my daughters, my eldest daughter, Regina. I made a video last year because I was promoting a PLR product on time management, which is something we can all use. Okay. We all need better time management. Right. So I promoted that like nobody else. My daughter and I made a video with puppets, and she had a rat and I had a squirrel. And the idea was they were trying to meet together to see a limited run movie, and the rat kept being late all the time because he just couldn't manage his time properly. So after the third time this happens, the squirrel, his squirrel's getting impatient each time that they miss the movie. The third time, the squirrel just loses it. He says, now look, I got to go get something for you. Now, the people going to this page know I'm promoting a time management program. So they think he's going off screen to get him this time management program. Instead, he goes off the screen, gets a knife, comes back on the screen and stabs him to death violently. And as the guy, as the rat is writhing in pain, the squirrel is saying to the screen, time management is very important. And then promoting the product. I mean, it's extremely dark, but hysterical at the same time. And the product creator was so delighted that he said, look, I guarantee you nobody else is promoting this thing the way you are. And I'll tell you, I would not have done that if I hadn't first gotten the idea from you of doing something like that. I wouldn't have thought of that. So anyway, all right. So just to sort of set the stage, that's how you came on my radar, was watching what you did, thinking, I want to be that guy. and going from there. So even though it's been a while, so it bears repeating. Even though you probably have told the story before, I do actually want to start off with Michael Chaney working at what is now ExxonMobil, which is the most anti-Michael Chaney thing I can imagine. So I need you to describe the scene.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Looking back on my life, because obviously I knew I was coming on your show here, and I thought, you know, how can I sort of tell this story in a slightly different way that people have never heard before? And really, you know, I put a picture on Facebook the other day, and I'm pretty sure you saw it, where I had long hair when I was at university.
Oh, that was classic. Yeah.
Right? I always kind of, for the longest time, I've been an outsider, an outlier. You know what I mean? I wasn't with the cool kids at school. I was a bit of a nerd, bit of a geek. You know, I was never in the right clique or whatever, the right clique. And, you know, sort of continued that through into university, sort of anti-establishment, kind of, you know, anti-authority, you know, growing long hair, listening to heavy metal and all this kind of stuff. But towards the end of my university degree, it kind of dawned on me that, okay, that, you know, the party's over here, you know, the money's running out. I'm going to have to get a job. So the hair got lopped off. And I applied for tons and tons of different jobs. I really just wanted anything. I wasn't really too picky. And I ended up working for, as you say, ExxonMobil, or Mobil as it was back then. And it was like the cartoon, the dollar signs were flicking on in my eyes. I thought, here we go, this is it. It's, you know, this is the dream scenario. And it was the largest company in the world. And I was taken on in their graduate program. And it was all, you know, cupcakes and rainbows to begin with. And then very soon after, it kind of dawned on me that this wasn't quite as advertised. I was, you know, being asked to kind of do things that, you know, that I really didn't think were part of my job. But the biggest kind of eye-opening thing came to me was when I was asked to stand in for somebody. So this lady went on maternity leave. And it was presented as a great opportunity for me to kind of go up a notch in the organization and stand in for her while she was away. And she trained me extremely diligently on everything that she did. It was, you know, all the little minute details, and I was taking notes furiously. And the large part of this role was creating reports for the department head. And it was, you know, imbued with this real sense of importance and, you know, gravitas to create these reports. So anyway, she went off on maternity leave and I started creating these reports, following everything that she'd done to the letter and you know, creating all the graphs, posting them up in the department, you know, notice board, and then handing them over to, you know, the head of the department every week. And one time I handed them over and he didn't, you know, he just didn't really look at them. He nonchalantly just sort of said, oh, you know, just leave them on the desk. And I was like, oh, sorry, is that okay to leave them there? And he said, well, I'll be honest with you, Michael, we don't really use these. And I was like, what? Like this whole job that she'd created around herself was not required in the organization. It was just a mythical, right? It was a mythical like BS thing that she'd created. So I thought, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. So I'm going to go to her boss. So I went to her boss, who was in the local office. I said, what's the deal here? Like, I'm doing this thing. I thought this was important. I thought this made a difference. Nobody even gives a crap about this. My, you know, department head said he doesn't read them. He doesn't forward them on to anything else. Well, what's going on here? You know, hoping that this guy would have answers. Basically, the answer that he gave me was, this is what he told me. I said, look, Michael, I'm biding my time for the next 5 years, biting my tongue so that I can do what I want to do when I retire. So this guy was like, I don't know, he was like 60 or something. He's going to retire when he's 65. I just started my career that was my first ever job. And there's a guy saying, just bite your tongue, do what's asked of you. And then when you retire, you can do what you want. You know, you can do something that you actually enjoy that's got value. And I'm like, holy crap. And then I started looking around in the office at people's faces, talking to people who'd been there, you know, 5 years, 10 years, and they'd given up. The lights had gone out. There was no excitement. There was no joy. There were no goals. There was no vision. There was no greater purpose. There was no sense of meaning. They were basically wage slaves living in these cubicles day to day because they had bills to pay and whatever else. And I just thought, this is not what I want to do. This is not what I want to do with my life. So fairly shortly after sort of discovering the Matrix situation, if you like, I rapidly began trying to work out how to set up my own thing on the internet, because I'd always been, you know, really, really passionate about the internet. I mean, when I started university in 93, I was using what was called Telnet back then, before there was even a web browser. I was using the internet. I was just fascinated by it. And I wanted to try and do something with that as part of, you know, my vocation in life. And that was part of what was offered in this graduate program, but they were so backward, they wouldn't embrace that technology back then, even though I was trying to advocate it. And anyway, I tried going several levels above. I was sending emails. This was obviously, I was based in the UK. I was sending emails over to, you know, my supervisor over in the States saying, what, you know, what's going on? I was really kicking up a massive fuss about what was going on and what I saw in this organization. And basically, I was just told to shut the F up and, you know, just get on with it and toe the party line and, you know, everything will be okay. Don't rock the boat. So at the same time, in parallel, as I say, I'd started looking into the internet. I then developed an online community for seniors because it was a rapid growing market. That started to get press coverage in the media. We started to take on paid advertising. And after two painful years working for ExxonMobil, I finally walked in one day and just handed in my notice and just said, no, I'm done. And, you know, I went off and started doing the internet thing. So yeah, that's really how I got into it all.
So that was all, you were in your 20s, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I started work 25 because I kind of extended. I took a year out after sort of school and college. Then I went to university. I did a 5-year degree at university, trying to string that out as long as I could before, you know, emerging into the so-called real world, trying to delay the inevitable. So yeah, I was 25 and then left when I was 27. And that's the last and first and last and only ever job that I've worked.
Now, this will become important later, but just now to make sure I get it clear, have you lived your whole life in Scotland?
No, I used to live in England and went to university in England. Then I moved to Scotland in 98 when I got the job with Mobil.
Oh, and the job took you there?
Yes.
And then you stayed?
I stayed, yeah. I put roots down, met my girlfriend, now wife, Laura. So yeah, that's how we ended up here.
Ah, all right. Well, I think I told you that next May I'm going to be making a trip over to Scotland. So obviously,
that's right. Yeah, I'm going to
make sure and see you.
Show you some of the sites, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's get back to this. So, what amazes me is the, you know, I know a lot of stories of people that I know personally where they've just been frustrated. They haven't been able to make a go of working on the internet, and then at the same time, I know other people personally who have had such ridiculous success that nobody would believe them if they explained what happened. No one would believe them. I promoted a webinar and I earned $300,000 in 2 weeks. I mean, yeah, that happens. I know people that's happened to. That absolutely does happen. But you can't tell that to anybody because, number one, everybody will hate you. Your friends will hate you. Everybody's going to ask you for money. They'll never leave you alone.
Right.
And also, generally, no one's going to believe that. That's not possible. That cannot happen. So therefore, you're lying. So who would even want to bother trying to tell a story like that? But yet, your thing was, I think you started off with a big clunking failure. But after your big clunking failure, you promoted an information product on Google AdWords. And it sold insanely well, such that you earned a huge amount of money in an incredibly short amount of time. But at the same time, this was your first experience with the tax man.
Right. Yeah, this was kind of one of those bittersweet moments. So yeah, I've been doing internet marketing for a while. So I started off, as I say, with that seniors site. We grew that to a certain extent. Then I realized that one of the most valuable things that I had was not the website, but was the knowledge of how to drive traffic. So I started teaching other people in the local area around Aberdeen, where I live. I would go around to businesses and teach them search engine stuff and how to get ranked in search engines, because that's what I'd learned for that website. And that became more valuable than the site itself. And then I kind of went up a level again and thought, well, I can only travel so much. I can only drive so far. And there's only one of me. How about I package what I know into a digital format, sell it online to the masses globally? And that's where things really started to take off. But as you say, the first product I released was an ebook called the Website Marketing Bible, which I got the name kind of got the idea for the name from Jeffrey Gitomer. He's got a book out called, The Sales Bible or something like that. And it did okay. I mean, it sold, 100 copies or something over 6 months. So it was my first foray into selling a digital product. But then in 2005, as you rightly said there, I created training on Google AdSense, which is basically a program where you put ads from Google on your website. Now, at that point, the seniors website had grown to such an extent that I was making $19,000 a month from Google. They were paying me $19,000 a month because of people clicking on all those ads on that seniors website that I owned. So again, I made that connection of, okay, well, that's great, but what if I teach people what I'm doing here, because I can generate additional revenue by giving the secrets, right? Not just doing the thing, but teaching others how I'm doing the thing. And that's really when it, as you say, it just went crazy. And that product sold $250,000 worth in 7 days. Now, it was promoted by various different affiliates, so other people that were promoting the product, and I would pay them a commission. So I only kept half of that amount, but still, it was a mind-blowing amount. It was unreal, surreal. It was, yeah, even to this day, you know, I mean, I was literally dancing around my apartment with Laura. You know, we couldn't believe what was happening. It was just insane. But we were so naive financially, as were our accountants that we were paying, that we didn't see the impending tax tsunami on the horizon that finally hit us with a huge bill. You know, the year after, for that financial year, we were hit with this huge stonking bill, because after that initial launch, I obviously then did another launch, you know, did more products and so on. And we had a really, really solid 12 months, but we were hit with a ginormous tax bill that we weren't expecting. And our accountants didn't forewarn us of either 12 months after, which was a real kind of sucker punch after, you know, thinking that we were riding this kind of huge wave.
Okay, there's some follow-ups here. And then, of course, we want to get into libertarianism and the awesome folks on our side of things that you got to know. Let me just pause for a quick but very important message for the folks. Folks, it's time for the continuing story of Bad Luck Ichabod. This poor guy didn't know there was a Tom Woods show, so therefore he didn't know how to shave properly. He was using an electric razor that, yeah, didn't cut him, but it also gave him a lousy shave, and he walked around with a 5 o'clock shadow all the time. Or he spent way too much on his razors because they came with 27 additional features nobody in his right mind needs. Or he got bad quality razors and he's walking around a bloody mess. But thankfully, because you listen to the Tom Woods Show, you will not be Bad Luck Ichabod. You know Harry's razors are the official razor of the Tom Woods Show. I bring them everywhere I go. And yes, even though I have a beard these days, I still shave my neck. What do you think I am, a neck beard? And the neck is the most sensitive area. And I get this beautiful close shave, and I always look and feel great. Harry's gives you quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. Well, listeners of my show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/woods. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/woods to start shaving better today. All right, before we get into the stuff that people will find juicy, although if you don't find $250,000 in a week juicy, I can't satisfy you people, but how did you bring affiliates on board when at that time you must have been sort of unknown?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't that well known. I mean, when I put that first ebook out, that website marketing Bible, I was completely unknown. So I was trying to recruit affiliates on forums, trying to get people to promote it. So people that would buy it, I was trying to get them to then promote it. So I had a small list of people that knew it. You know, knew who I was and was putting good stuff out. But I also, at that point, I was starting to now move in some circles of the kind of godfathers, the original founding fathers of internet marketing, like, you know, Jeff Walker of the product launch fame, and Mike Filsaime, Joel Comm, who some of you may know. And I was speaking to these guys on the phone. I'd met some of them at an event that I went down to in London. I couldn't afford to attend the event, but I bought a ticket to go down just to meet one of these guys, Mike Filsaime, in a hotel in London to try and pick his brains about how to break through in internet marketing. So I was, you know, things were starting to happen. It wasn't a complete fluke that this thing, you know, did as well as it did. It was a, you know, many, many things coming together. Obviously, many years of effort on my part, started to establish connections. The timing was right in terms of the market. You know, AdSense was very buoyant and people were really interested in how it all operated. So all these things kind of, you know, came together at the same time.
Now let's fast forward a bit, because as I said, I got to know you 2015, 2016. I was seeing you on leaderboards. And again, for people who don't know what that is, sometimes there will be, like as you do with your products, you want to motivate people to promote the products for you. Because a lot of times with these sorts of products, like information products, such as how to do X, how to do Y, that will help you in your business, you can advertise for these products. But what people typically do is they recruit people with big email lists to promote the products for them. And rather than go, you know, do advertising, instead, you have people, you know, who have an email list of people who are interested in this type of product. And the people on that list trust the person who sends the emails on that list, because otherwise, why would they be on the list? And so that person promotes the product for you, and that does a lot of the work. And for his trouble, you give that person 50% of the dough. So anyway, so you'd been doing that. You would show up on leaderboards, because that's what's meant there, is that the product creator will sometimes motivate people to promote the product, not just with the prospect of 50% commissions, but also prizes. If you're the top, one of the top 3 or 5 or 10 or sometimes even 20 sellers, you get an additional prize over and above the commissions. And I would see that Cheney name, you know, here, there, and everywhere on these things. And so that was where I said, all right, and I've heard this guy's really good at email, so I'm going to get on his list. Then I started buying your stuff, and I ended up buying pretty much everything you had. I even bought a pretty expensive thing that you had. And I remember looking at it. I remember distinctly early 2017. I didn't go to a webinar. You didn't have to talk me into it. I just looked at the sales page and I said, yes, I can make a go of this. There's no question about this. I did not need to be convinced. Right. And I went ahead and got it. So that was how I got to sort of know you. So then I guess, at what point did we connect? At some point, did I write to you? Like, how did we, I don't even remember this.
I don't know myself.
One of us wrote to the other and said, like, WTF or something. Like, somebody wrote to the other, because I guess you figured out that, oh, I know what it was. In part, it was that I was showing up on leaderboards after a while, sometimes right. In competitions that you were also in. And so you would see my name. Nobody knew who the heck I was, because I'm not in internet marketing at that time. I just thought, look, I got people who are interested in some of this material who also have entrepreneurial instincts. I'll promote products like this. And so you start seeing me on these leaderboards, and just over and over. And people began, and I know this is absolutely true, there are people in this industry who began to ask who the blankety blank is this
yeah.
Woods, right?
Yes. I think that's how it worked for me. I think I might have messaged, I'd need to check my email account. I think I messaged Mike Mertz, maybe, for one of my launches.
That guy has introduced me to so many people, so that may have been it.
Yeah, I think I was like, who's this Woods guy? Like, he's totally crushing it. He's beating this guy and this guy who I've worked with for 10 years. Who is he? And I think he made the introduction. I think that's how it went. I'm pretty sure he was involved somewhere along the line.
Yeah, that must be.
Yeah.
He's like just for people, Mike Mertz runs a website, JV Notify Pro, where people who are about to launch products, you know, put their products up there so that people in advance can know if this is something they want to promote. I mean, it could be something teaching Forex trading or whatever, some information product typically, sometimes software. And then you can get a sense, is this product a fit for the kind of people who follow me or not? And so Mike is very plugged in. He knows all the product creators. He knows all the key affiliates. And yeah, so when a guy starts showing up on the boards, he gets to know that person.
Right.
And he wrote to me and said, geez, you're doing as well as anyone I've ever seen. I thought, well, thanks. I mean, he wanted to know how I did it. And I basically said, well, I bought basically at that time, just a cheap Cheney product. I had only your cheap $20, one of your $20 things.
Right.
But I just did the things, you know, like I tell people, if you get on my entrepreneur, because I have two email lists, the libertarian one and this entrepreneur one. If you get on that one and you know Cheney's methods, you'll see his fingerprints all over everything I do. It's always the key things that you do, I do. And anybody who's attentive will see that. So, all right. So, but the missing piece of the puzzle here is that I, you know, my online presence has to do primarily with libertarianism, and I don't push that on my internet marketing friends. But you and I have some friends who are very open about their political views. Omar Martin, I'm looking in your direction. However, most people sort of keep this to themselves, but I have been pleasantly surprised to find how many folks in our industry, and also I find this true of copywriters, like Bob Bly and Ben Settle. They tend to be, if you really push them, they tend to be, frankly, at least on economics, a little bit to the right of center. And I have never been quite able to figure out why that should be. But all the same, so you've had now, okay, so you had the experience with the taxes and so on and so forth. But then there's something else that happened in your life that really, really made you feel like this is the last straw. And I hope you don't mind telling that story.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, so in June this year, my father passed away, and it was, you know, really kind of unexpected. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing to say unexpected. No, nobody really expects anybody to, you know, you can't predict when your parents are going to die. But, you know, my dad was really quite outwardly healthy. He was living an active retirement. He would, you know, gardening. He'd be, you know, out and about every day. You know, he didn't have any ailments. He was never visiting the doctor. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He rarely ate desserts. I mean, he was so health conscious. He would, you know, he'd have a half of one of those little sweeteners, you know, the little sweeteners you put in your drink. He would break them into a half and have a half of each one in a drink because he was so conscious of what he was putting into his body. So he was, you know, we thought he was going to live for at least, you know, at least to sort of 85 or if not longer. But sadly, he died in June of this year, aged 75. And it was a complete shock to everyone in the family. We, you know, it just came totally out of the blue. So that on its own was obviously really, really difficult to deal with. And at the same time, as before this was going on, or before this happened, should I say, I was going through kind of like a rebalancing or kind of an evaluation of where I was in life and what I was doing with my internet marketing business. There were things happening in the internet marketing world that I wasn't happy about, that it seemed to be heading in a direction. I've seen it head multiple times before where there's this kind of cycle really in internet marketing where you have how-to information comes out, teaching people how to do internet marketing. People follow that, but some people that don't have, you know, very good ethics or the best moral compass kind of take advantage of what they've learned, and they start doing things in internet marketing that really are just a little bit unsavory. And it leads to a point where there's a lot of kind of more shady things going on than otherwise in internet marketing. Those people move to networks that will allow that. Eventually, those networks get wiped out, and then we're kind of at ground zero, and then the how-to information reemerges. And I've seen this happen two or three times already, but I started to notice at the beginning of this year that this has started to happen, and that this wasn't really something that, you know, I was too happy about. So I was starting to evaluate, you know, what can I do next? What's my next move in this to try and separate myself from some of what I'm seeing? So I was kind of in a state of flux anyway before my dad died. And then, as I say, my dad died, and that was obviously terrible enough as it was. But because he named me as the executor of his will, or the co-executor, I was kind of tasked with wrapping up his estate and dealing with the financial side of things. And I knew that he was very frugal. He was a school teacher all his life, so he didn't have it wasn't like some blue chip, you know, corporate job. He was a school teacher. He used to teach chemistry to, you know, 11 to 16 year olds. And then towards the end of his life, he was also teaching teachers how to, you know, teach the curriculum correctly. And, you know, he devoted pretty much all his life. I think he started when he was 20, if not even younger, teaching, and continued doing it even into his 60s. So it's quite a humble job, but I knew that he'd put quite a bit of money away because that's just kind of how he was. But as the executor, I was starting to see the accounts that he'd put all this money away, and starting to gather it all together. And in the UK, the tax law is very different to what it is in the US. In the UK, you can get a tax-free amount on your estate at death up to, I think, £450,000, which is, I don't know, $550,000 maybe. Anything over and above that, you're going to get taxed 40%. Now, because my dad had saved so well, because he'd worked so hard and he was such a frugal saver, he had quite a substantial sum over and above that allowance in his estate when we'd got all the accounts back and we'd tracked everything down. So in the end, just a few weeks ago from today, I had to sign a document from the IRS equivalent here in the UK, so HMRC, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, and basically say, yes, please take £145,000 out of my father's savings and give it to yourselves, the government. And it absolutely disgusted me to the ends of the earth, because this wasn't money that he had not been taxed on. Think about it. In order for him to put any of that money in any kind of investment or saving, he had to work. He then had to take that money out as a salary and get taxed on it. So he's already paid a tax on that money. And yet, because he's saved well, been frugal, worked hard, done what everybody says you should do and put money away, he's now was then penalized, you know, posthumously to the tune of about $160,000. And it wasn't about the money. You know, I'm very fortunate. I don't need the money. My sister, however, is not an internet entrepreneur and is not, you know, as financially stable as I am. And this was having a direct impact, obviously, on the amount that she would recover from the estate. But more importantly to me, the thing that really hit me like a dagger through the heart was my dad would have absolutely hated this. And he was a super smart guy. Like when I posted about this on Facebook, everybody's like, oh, well, more fool him. He should have known the rules and everything else. Well, of course he knew the rules, but like us, he didn't expect, you know, he probably saw he had at least 10 years left. And my guess is, and this is me trying to piece things together, my guess is that he was maybe looking at that income as, you know, his travel income. He was a very keen traveler, but as his travel income for the next 10 years or however long that he saw, you know, his life kind of extending. So it was a real, as I say, real punch in the stomach. It struck me as unfair, to say the very, very least, that this money was being taken again, kind of like a second tax, really, on money that had already been taxed, and almost like a penalty for him saving and working hard. And it, you know, at the same time as all this was going on, I was also kind of receiving support through Facebook from the Liberty Memes group. There's kind of this group on Facebook. Some of you might be aware of.
Oh yeah, in fact, I had one of the guys from there on this program to talk about his troubles with Zuckerberg.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, Zuckerberg's always going after them, particularly around election time. Will, you know, Zuck their pages, ban their pages. I think he's on a 30-day ban right now, and they won't even tell him what it's for. But anyway, those guys were really sort of welcoming me with open arms, you know, at the death of my father, separate to all this tax thing, just really just because I got to know them. They interviewed me on one of their programs. They kind of gate crashed some of the live streams that I was doing about internet marketing, were trying to get me to say taxation is theft. And, you know, they kind of opened my eyes even more to sort of the libertarian movement and, you know, the voluntarism and what's involved. And I saw obviously what they're doing in that group with helping individuals, you know, individuals helping one another. And all of this seemed to be beyond my control. It was almost like it was just, I was on this wave and this is where life was taking me. And I just kind of went with it. And that, as I say, that's really why I reached out to you. And I said, look, this is a situation. This is what's happened. This is what's happening in internet marketing. I'm not really too happy about it. Obviously, this is what's happened with my dad. I'm not too happy about that, with, you know, from the taxation point of view. You know, and I just said to you, I was like, how about we do something together, but do it, you know, teach people how to start an internet business, but do it in the right way, you know, from a libertarian standpoint, where it's, you know, it's about doing things in the right way, helping other people and not just getting out there for your own personal gain, but trying to build this virtuous circle where we can help people get some financial independence and they can use that money to either help themselves, help their family, or even for them then to further their own libertarian causes and beliefs. So that's really how this, you know, the joint project that we're working on, that's how really it all came about. It was kind of like a domino thing. But as I say, it wasn't, none of this was a decision. It was just kind of seemed to be thrust upon me that this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
I remember the message you sent me proposing this, and I thought that's a definite, because I know that there's definitely stuff that I know that, well, a lot of it I got from you, but I've picked some stuff up along the way. But I'm, even I'm a little bit intimidated, frankly, about launching a product, because there are a lot of moving parts associated with that. And you've done this enough times that you could do the heavy lifting on that part of it. And that made me feel like, all right, well, maybe now I'll do it, because I feel like if Cheney's doing the hard part, then right. I don't have to worry about the heavy lifting. And so this is actually my way of kind of dipping my toe into the other end of things. I'm usually promoting things that other people do. Now you and I have our own thing. So that's, as I say, that's sort of a first for me, at least in this area. I mean, I do have my libertarian stuff right. that I, you know, promote and sell. But in this area, this is the very first thing. So you and I came up, and you came up with the name for it. And by the way, this is super inexpensive. Like, you know, you just, it's like not even a steak dinner. Like, it's super inexpensive. So, I mean, so if you get it and you say, I learned so much from this that I feel guilty I spent as little money as I did, feel free to PayPal us extra money want to,
We're definitely open for that.
Yeah. If the guilt feelings overwhelm you, that is always an option. But you came up with the idea of the name Net Profits Academy because it's a play on words, because, you know, net profits, but also internet profits. So I thought, yeah, I like plays on words. I like puns. So Net Profits Academy is what it is. So you can check it out. We're on the verge of launching it. You'll find some juicy information there. NetProfitsAcademy.com is where you want to go. NetProfitsAcademy.com. I'm also going to link to that on the show notes page for today, tomwoods.com/1527. But it's NetProfitsAcademy.com. And it just, it really, the idea of it is, it just shows kind of over the shoulder what Michael and I do every day, pretty much, like what we're doing to, you know, support ourselves and stuff. Like, for example, I went to London about a month ago for the first time ever. And I went because I just wanted to. I've never been there before. I'm curious. I've been to a number of non-English speaking countries that I've enjoyed, but I always feel like a fish out of water there because I don't speak the language and I feel like I'm imposing on people walking around blabbing in English. They don't understand what I'm saying. So I could be in England, you know, and feel like, okay, they know I'm a foreigner, but at least I can communicate. And I had a tremendous time. I mean, it was wonderful, but I didn't want to pull the money out of my savings to go to London, because I just felt frivolous doing that. So I thought, what can I do quickly so that I can go to London and not feel guilty? You know, what can I do to generate the dough I would need to fly, to stay in a decent hotel, to see some shows in the West End, to eat reasonably well, if that's possible in London? Sorry, but I'm just being honest.
I read that email.
I didn't even know you were on my list. I'm mortified.
We'll speak about that privately if you don't.
Oh, okay. I'm mortified. I didn't even know you were on my list. Anyway, so I actually did. I actually have a little. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll put it in there as an unannounced bonus. Maybe we'll put it in there. I ended up making a 20-minute video on what exactly I did. I ended up selling something, but I didn't have to do the selling. I just generated enough curiosity for people to go click on a link and decide if they wanted to buy something. But I had a particular strategy on how to sell this particular thing. And I was able to win 2 leaderboards for a total of $2,000. And each of those 1,000, I sold about 22 copies of a $25 product. And for 22 copies of $25, I was the biggest seller on one of the days. So I earned $1,000 on top of the commissions. Then on the next day, I sold 23 copies of this little thing. So it's not like I'm selling a million copies and no one else could ever learn how to do what I'm doing. You can learn how to sell 23 copies. So yes, you can. Yes, you can. And in addition to the commissions, I earned another $1,000. Now, how was I able to do that selling so few? What? How is that possible? And I did that in no time flat. So I ended up making a video that I've shared with a small number of people on how I did that. So this is the kind of thing that's what. So this product that you and I produce, this is my way of kind of saying, look, this is all I'm doing. If you're curious, because you know now things are fairly comfortable for me. Although when you have 5 children, it's always a little precarious, right? I mean, somebody has some health issue, and you know you never know. Then you're in some trouble. But people have been curious. Well, what is? Open up your business and let me look inside it. And this is kind of an opportunity for people to do that. So netprofitsacademy.com is the site to go check that out. And if this is not for you, then don't do it. But you got to be a tiny bit curious. And we've created something that is super inexpensive so that, you know, even if you never do anything with it, it'll satisfy your curiosity and you will find it very interesting. But I think you're going to find it so interesting that you may say, well, doggone it, if old Woods here can do this, maybe I'll roll up my sleeves and see how I do. So I'm going to leave it there unless you have a parting word.
Well, yeah, as I say, we're basically lifting the hood on what we do. But we also take it right back to the beginning. So it's, you know, it doesn't matter what stage you're at. If you've never done it before or you've, you know, you're a little bit curious, but you don't even know where to start. We go right back to the beginning. Basically, say, okay, how do you choose a market? Let's talk about how to find a niche online. But, you know, so we do both the theory and the actual on-screen, this is the website you need to go to. This is where you need to click. This is what you need to type in. You know, it's a soup to nuts guide of how to build an internet business like Tom and I run. Okay, it doesn't matter what stage you're at. If you're just starting out, you can follow this step by step. So you get to see, you know, what we're doing, but also how to start it for yourself, you know, right from the get-go.
All right, so that is exactly what it is. So netprofitsacademy.com. I'm really happy about it. I've never done anything like this before, but I feel good about it. This is, it's like, it's step by step. It could not be more ethical. Like, it's not, you're not going to find that you have a business that you're not proud of. You will be proud of it. You darn well should be proud of it because it is entirely honorable and good. You know, I mean, there are some people who think because people can do so well online, there therefore must be something shady about it. No, it's just that, first of all, most people have not figured out what's possible. That's good for me because less competition for me. If people want to keep digging ditches or whatever it is they do, that's fine with me. It's, you know, more conquests for me to get. But yeah, a lot's possible. And we're showing it to you at netprofitsacademy.com. All right, Michael, I appreciate this. Looking forward to it. It's a ways off, but it's going to be very interesting to see you in your own backyard in Scotland in May. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All right, folks. Tomorrow, Richard Ebeling returns to the program to talk about his book, For a New Liberalism. We've got Jacob Hornberger. I haven't quite nailed down the exact date, but I'm planning to have him on this week because he's just announced officially that he is indeed running for the Libertarian Party presidential nomination. So we're going to talk to him. I got a bunch more guests coming up as well, including Lou Rockwell, talking about his new book. So lots to stay tuned for. Make sure you subscribe over at tomwoods.com/apple, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.